Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 48. The Reverend Robert Wurst is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 19th chapter. When Jesus drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation." And he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of robbers." And he was teaching daily in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him, but they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his words. The word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Sometimes when we view what our lives have brought us, we weep. We weep for the loss of things that might have been. We weep when we perceive the devastation that sin works in our lives. We weep out of frustration when that which is good, right, and salutary is purposefully set aside for things that are wrong, that are hurtful, and that are clearly against the Lord's expressed and gracious will. These things simmer in our minds and our hearts, and they often break out in sighs and lamentations and tears. And that's normal. It's the way it should be for sinners who behold their Lord. So it is that Jesus, our Lord, approaches the holy city, the city of his father David, and he begins to weep. The desolation that lies soon in her future due to their hard-hearted and stiff-necked rejection of the Lord's prophets and his word was very difficult to ponder. Their rejection of the Lord's visitation will cause them to be ground to powder, and they would drink down the results of their sin, much as their great apostasy at Sinai had caused Moses to grind up that golden calf and mix it into their water and cause them to drink it down. They would be somber and dreadful days. And Jesus could see it, and he wept over it. His prophecy about Jerusalem's future trial was no joke, and it certainly held no exaggeration at all. A brief reading of Josephus about the temporal terrors that came upon Jerusalem would sober you right up. The church actually used to read an excerpt of it on Trinity 10, and in back of the old hymnals, there was actually printed there part of that history. And if you were to read it, it would, as my grandmother used to say, curl your hair. Coming down the descent of the Mount of Olives, Jesus sees Jerusalem. He contemplates what is coming and he weeps. And why wouldn't he? His tears are normal, as anyone who contemplates sin and the troubles it brings. He is the all-compassionate one who comes to forgive sins, and this rejection grieves him. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done for it? Sin brings with it corruption, decay, destruction, death. Whatever it touches, it ruins. It lays waste and brings condemnation down upon our heads. And that is why we are so earnest to preach repentance. You should not ignore your sin, wish it away, or look the other way. To go on deliberately sinning after receiving the knowledge of the truth is foolhardy and damning. You see it in Jerusalem, what the wages of sin are. It's a crushing, grinding destruction and a fearsome death. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The good news is that you have a Savior who has compassion on sinners. That's the reason for his tears. It's what lay behind his passionate cleansing of his temple. It's why he preached every day in the temple courts, even though the chief priests, the scribes, and the prominent people were seething at him and thought of nothing but his death. Jesus loves sinners, and thus he weeps for them. He cleanses the house in which they are to pray and puts himself in the way of death and cross, so to save them and to make them his own. So it is with tear-streaked face that he enters Jerusalem on Palm Sunday to the shouts of those who saw him raise Lazarus from the dead and the others who welcomed his coming. But his face has been set for this place, the place of his father David's reign, the place of his most holy temple, the place of the prophet's preaching. He comes to Jerusalem to sum the scriptures all up. He comes to bear her burdens. He comes out of deep compassion to go to the cross, to be crucified, to be forsaken, to die. And his tears are not for himself and what he will suffer, but for the sinners whom he loves with a deep and abiding love. The rulers and the chief priests and the prominent people would have their day. Jesus would be led out of Jerusalem's broad gate, bearing the sin of the world, and he will be lifted up, and all will gaze upon him. Behold your sin, behold your guilt, behold your shame. See it nailed there to the cross. There it is put to death. See how much it cost to redeem you and to propitiate you. But then also see the place where he lay. And he is not there, is he? He is risen from the dead. Christ our Lord surrounded the devil and his legions, crushed Satan's head, and led captivity captive. He raised the walls of the grave down, and soon his redeemed will also rise up and scamper out. The evil one certainly recognized the day of his visitation as Christ burst the bars of hell and triumphed over the grave. This is the day, O sinners, for you to remember Jerusalem and not take your sin lightly. Repent. Tear down the walls of sin that lie in your minds and your hearts. Repent. Don't ignore it. It is better to enter the narrow gate that leads to life, having confessed with many tears and having received the absolution. It is good for you to shed tears over your sin and so be driven to the one who shed tears over you. Look to Jesus who wept for you. Look to Jesus who cleansed your temple with water and the words, that you may offer up unceasing prayer to him who loves you. Look to Jesus who comes amidst those who hate him and still does, and gives his word that we may hang on every syllable of it and live. Look to Jesus who gives you his body and blood that you might not hunger and thirst. There will soon be a day, a glorious day, a happy day, a sunny and bright eternal day when there will be no more tears over sin, a bright day when disease and suffering and pain will be banished. There will be no more languishing, no more lamentation, no darkness, anger, or bitterness. Glad will be that sweet day that sees the consummation of the sinner's salvation and the joyous morning of eternal Te Deums and glorias. But that day is not yet. So when next you weep for the loss of things that might have been, when you perceive the devastation that sin works in you and in your families and with your friends, in your country, when the tears of frustration trail down your face, when the good, right, and salutary has been purposefully set aside, lift up your heads. You have a Savior who has overcome it all for you. He knows your wanderings. He has brought you back. He has kept your tears in his bottle, knowing your sufferings and your struggles. He knows your days and guards and preserves you. Hear his word. Your name is written in the book of life. And remember what our confessions say there. God's word leads us to Christ, who is the book of life, written on the palms of his hands, you are, in whom all who are written and elected there are to be saved in eternity. The last day will be a glad day, a happy day, an eternally sunny day for you, the Lord's beloved Christians. When we are resurrected, we will look up the ascent to the holy city, the new Jerusalem. Our eyes will behold him who went to the cross, rose from the dead, and ascended on high. Our eyes will look up and see him to whom our suffering has conformed us. We will eat and drink, not the bread of sorrow, not our ground-up sins, but the eternal wedding banquet with our dear Bridegroom. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for LCMS Secretary, the Reverend Dr. John Sias. We also pray for Chaplain Joel Geese, who is deployed. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.